Hey, it's the Deer Wizard, host of North American Deer Talk. I want to tell you about a great new advertising and research platform that we've developed for you, CWDbreeding.com. You know, as the deer industry continues to mature and develop around chronic wasting disease and its known genetic heritability, resources like CWDbreeding.com become essential tools for deer managers across the country making decisions about their herds. I really wanted a platform that excelled at hosting GBV and codon markers in a filterable and searchable manner, but I also wanted to have high quality pictures, videos, ages, scores, nadar numbers, and a whole host of other information to go along with that. This database puts everything in one easy to find location and allows you to access the industry's greatest genetic resources. I look forward to seeing all the great bucks that people have to offer in one easy to find location, CWDbreeding.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of North American Deer Talk. It is April 1st, day after Easter. I hope everybody had a great Easter weekend. It was nice here. I'm just getting over. I was at the NADIFA conference here a week ago and picked up a bug from shaking hands with all you fine folks. So I was laid up for a little bit and just kind of getting back in the swing of things. We got a great show for you. Episode 101. And this is going to be a industry news and updates. I saw quite a few emails kind of popping through my inbox, so I wanted to go over those. First, we'll take care of a little bit of housekeeping. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you so much. If you do not like YouTube, we do it over at Rumble as well. If you're listening on the podcast, we appreciate it. We do it at Spotify, Amazon, Google, and the fine Apple streaming platform. So however you're listening, we appreciate it. Another thing that I'd ask you to do, if you could take 1 minute of your time and just leave us a review. We really appreciate it. Especially if you like the show, just trying to expand the reach. We've been kind of getting some slow and steady growth over the past couple years. All the kind of new listeners hopping on and that are interested in some of the things we talk about here, whether it be deer farming related or not. Again, we appreciate it. So if you could leave us a five-star, one of those fine five-star reviews, trying to get those into the Apple algorithm and on Facebook, on YouTube, hit that like button, subscribe, et cetera. If you feel the shows are good or you have a show that you enjoy, share it with somebody. There's a share button on all those. You can send it in a text or an email or whatever, share it on Facebook and some of the groups or whatever you like. If you're not following us on North American Deer Talk, or in the North American Deer Talk, group on Facebook, we post all the new episodes there. It's probably the easiest way if you're on Facebook to check us out and just kind of stay up to date. If stuff funnels into your news feed or whatever, and find us there, that's awesome. Quick shout out to Dakota Muleys and my buddy Mike out there. Thank you for the hat. You know, I rotate through hats on this show and really appreciate it. So if anybody has a hat, I am a quasi collector of those things, and I am happy to get a new hat in. We are also looking for a new sponsor for the North American Deer Talk platform. We want to thank CNE Wildlife Products for their many years of sponsorship. We really appreciate it. They have decided to shut down their doors, and that company is no longer. I actually ended up purchasing all the remaining inventory from Sadie over there. And, you know, if you need fawn paste or Guardian or any of the fine fawn products like Jumpstarter, the 911 packs, we have those, and happy to get those expedited out to you prior to the fawning season, which is coming up. So with all that said, We're working on getting a new board made, the one that sits behind me over here. If you'd like your company logo and, a commercial put together, we can do that for you. Again, we are looking for a new sponsor. So if you want to advertise your ranch or your business or something like that, this is a great platform to do so. And we would love to talk to you about that opportunity. So you can get a hold of me. My cell phone number is 484-951-3229. You can find us over at Servant Solutions. We're all over the place. So just you can send me a text, a DM. You can shoot me an email, whatever works for you. Okay, so bear with me. I'm gonna work through my email box here. Now that we got all the housekeeping taken care of, we have four updates for this week. If you're not good at keeping up on your email, which sometimes I am not, maybe this is a great way for you to kind of stay in tune with what's there. So the first one that I'd like to just kind of go through is the, of course, I had it keyed up here. Let me see if I can get this for you. Yes. So not directly deer related, but something that I do find interesting, and that is that they found avian flu. And you're like, Josh, why are you talking about avian flu? Well, because it's relevant. So I can give you a little bit of backstory of how this kind of came up on my radar. We're regulated by the Department of Agriculture here in Pennsylvania, and departments generally have a limited amount of resource, and that could be money, but it could also be people. And so high path avian influenza, or high path AI as we're going to call it, has been kind of ripping through a lot of the flocks in the country. They've killed millions of birds, hundreds of millions of birds across the country. I know they've killed millions of birds over here, due to high path AI. And it's something that is worth keeping an eye on. We do not want that in our food supply. Well, just a few days ago, I had something come across my screen, and it said dairy cattle have been, becoming infected by high path AI out in, I think, New Mexico, maybe in parts of Texas, Arizona, something like that. So, excuse me. I'm just going to read from Feedlot Magazine. Feedlot Magazine's basically a bovine publication, online publication, and they send out all sorts of good stuff. And I find it interesting because I raise ruminants as well in the way of white-tailed deer. So this is from the article. There's been a recent disease event in dairy cattle with reports of affected herds in several states. Samples submitted from dairy cattle affected with current disease outbreak were recently confirmed by USDA of the United States Department of Agriculture to have highly pathogenic avian influenza or high path AI. It's too soon to predict if all the recent reports of unexplained illness in dairy cattle in the U.S. are due to high path AI. Veterinarians and the dairy industry are working collaboratively with state and federal officials during the ongoing investigation. High path AI is most commonly found in birds and poultry. Wild waterfowl are known carriers. According to the USDA, 48 states have cases of high path AI in poultry and wild birds since the outbreak began in 2022. Over 82 million birds have been affected. There have also been reports that over 200 mammals diagnosed with the virus. The cases in dairy cattle are unique, and it's only the second time it has been found in a U.S. ruminant, cattle, sheep, goats, earlier this month. High path AI was found in goats in Minnesota on a farm where poultry first tested positive. According to the USDA, migratory birds appear to be the source of the infection in cattle. So what's the impact on dairy cattle? Veterinarians and animal caregivers first reported seeing decreased feed intake and milk production in the affected dairy cattle. Dairies are reporting that about 10% of the milking cows became sick. There have been no confirmed deaths in cattle due to the disease. Cattle appear to recover in 2 to 3 weeks with supportive care. So on the food safety front, federal and state guidelines exist to ensure the safety of milk and meat products. Milk that is pasteurized and meat that is properly cooked remains safe for human consumption. AABP will continue to monitor this situation and provide reliable information to its members and the public. So AABP is the American Association of Bovine Practitioners. It's a membership-based, not-for-profit organization serving cattle, veterinary, and medicine professionals across the U.S., Canada, and other countries. The mission of AABP is to provide support, continuing education, and advocacy for current and future veterinarian professionals and the cattle they serve. So I thought that was interesting. Obviously, deer are ruminants, and we could certainly see performance affected in deer if they too so get some cases of high path AI. So it's just something to keep an eye on. Not that we need any more issues with disease. We certainly have our hands full with EHD and CWD concerns. So I just wanted to throw that out, that that may be a reservoir for disease that we want to keep an eye on. So now it's in the gray matter between your ears. On to TB blood testing. This update is from NEBA, or the North American Elk Breeders Association. This came through about a week ago. And this is relative to, you know, all cervids, because we have the same TB test. So North American Elk Breeders Association offers this update for American elk owners that have experienced delays in TB testing, known as DPP test. So this is the blood test, right? The old stick test, or the skin test, is where they inject a little bit of tuberculin under the skin and they see if there's a reaction to it. The TB blood test uses different technology. I will say, and I'm going to interject here, that we've made this transition because it's a lot less stress and handling on these animals. The lab, they got to figure out how to get this enough of these tests for us to use. We can't be waiting, you know, months at a time to work through the backlog. But anyway, if USDA is going to allow us to use this test, they need to put a little bit of pressure on, and certainly our organization groups need to do the same. So back to the update. Unfortunately, the TB blood test reported testing kits were backordered, leaving thousands of cervid blood samples in line to be tested. To be clear, this backlog is out of the hands of NEBA. That's the North American Elk Breeders Association, state animal health departments, and USDA APHIS. NEBA, among other industry stakeholders, has consistently pressed the lab to catch up on testing. Yeah, come on, lab. Get with the program here. We have needs here. We're paying you for these tests. We want to keep using them because they're pretty darn handy. Have the test for us, please. This week, USDA APHIS informed NEBA that all TB blood test samples submitted in the 2023 calendar year have been tested. However, USDA APHIS notes that there are still several thousand samples waiting in line to be tested. The lab just received kits to complete a large portion of tests, currently in line with another shipment of kits expected in April. It is now April. Hopefully those all start working through. The agency reports that the samples submitted will be frozen upon arrival and tested in the order they're received as kits become available. During this time, members should anticipate delays utilizing the single cervical tuberculin skin test, or SCT. That's the one that I mentioned earlier, for cervid TB testing associated with impending or time-sensitive movements remains an option and should be considered. NEPA and industry allies are aware of these impacts and delays they have on your ranch's business. The industry is seeking a way to avoid such delays in the future. Thank you for understanding. So thank you, NEPA, for that update. I got one from TDA for you. This is from TDA. Here, when was this? This is a couple days ago, right before Easter. Thank you for TDA for getting this update out. NADAR, North American Deer Registry, is excited to roll out all new GMS web app. GMS, or Game Management Systems, that was purchased by NADAR from NADIFA, or the North American Deer and Elk Farmers Association. They've been working on redoing the whole thing for us. This new GMS product offers the deer breeder and farmer the latest technology and data capturing from the NADAR database. GMS clients will be able to access their information via any platform using this device. The following features are just a few of many tools included in GMS. Herd inventory, DNA submittal and retrieval, GBV and codons, lineage and pedigree, doe line, pen and group management. It's designed for all species, and they say there's more to come. My experience with GMS has been less than optimal. I'm hoping that I have not used the product for more than 10 years because I was just tired of spending money and not getting the results that needed. I couldn't even get the system to work on my Mac. They're saying all this is fixed up. They had a presentation at the NADIFA conference. If you got to sit on that, awesome. So I am cautiously optimistic that they will get their act together on this release, and we will have a product that really works well for all of us. I think as time goes on and more money has been kind of delivered into the North American Deer Registry, that, you know, GMS is a good solution for that kind of herd management, and specifically with GBV and codons and lineage all kind of tying together, that this might be a good thing. So again, I'm cautiously optimistic. I hope that this launch will be something positive for all of us, and I look forward to seeing what comes out. I may jump on board and buy the platform again and see if it works. Probably give it a little bit to let them work out some bugs. That way I don't have to be the test guru on anything. I'm assuming they've already done that, and this will be a good public release. April 2nd. So by the time you're listening to this or watching this, should be out in the wild and ready to use. So thanks, TDA, for that update. Our final update comes from NADIFA. That's the North American Deer Farmers Association. There has been some commentary about moving animals into Mexico. So this comes from Executive Director Sean Schaefer. There's been a lot of work and discussion over the last 6 months, but he is happy to report that they were successful in reopening export of cervids to Mexico. One of the main changes was the word official in the CWD herd certification program, which will allow animals from either the federal or state CWD herd certification programs to export to Mexico. This is from USDA. Quote, "With this notification, the market of U.S. origin cervids to Mexico is considered reopened, and the CWD trade restriction is lifted. You are free to use the model health certificate for exports to Mexico," and that is downloadable within that email. If you're not a member of NADIFA, You can sign up on their website. I believe it's nadefa.org, and you can get the application if you want an application there. Get signed up, you get these updates. So that's a good thing. So Mexico's and USDA have kind of figured out the the import requirement and such, and sounds like the borders are open back up. I suspect a bunch of them guys from Texas are happy campers. I know there's a lot of hard work that goes into international trade and such. So thanks to all of you who have worked on that. I don't really know. I'm sure Sean was right in there in the mix, and I suspect there's others like the folks at TDA that have been working on this as well. So thank you. If you look at all the little pieces of the industry, from health and regulation and commerce and all those things, there's a lot of people that work behind the scenes, some that are paid, some that are not paid. So if you know those folks and you know that they're doing some work, just say thanks to them. It goes a long way. People appreciate that. There's a lot of folks that, especially volunteers within a lot of our state organizations, and even on the national level, that they're volunteers. And of course, we've talked about this before. They appreciate the thank yous, right? They go a long way. And so if you can offer that support to them, that's a good thing. I really don't have anything else. I just wanted to make a a quick show for you, just to get some of this information out. And again, in between the gray matter in your brain, that way it's kind of popping around. So yeah, that's it for this week. On the service solutions front, most of everybody's vaccines have been shipped out, and folks are getting ready for their spring vaccinations. We're coming up. Somebody's gonna have fawns here in a few weeks. I know it's a little early to be, excuse me, thinking about that, but it's coming. We're looking at kind of third week of May, so I got two weeks or so before we're gonna vaccinate. We try to hit that second, third week of April for our spring boosters. If you need tags, get those ordered, because tags were on back order for a while. We're still working through some old inventory. Again, if you need probiotic fawn paste, holler at me. We got some of that, the CNE wildlife fawn paste that many of you use. We got quite a bit of it, so I can get that out to you right quick. What else is going on? Oh, Nadifa is having their flying into DC next week. So I'll be heading down there. Sunday we're going to drive in. We'll have our stakeholder meetings on Monday. So we meet with USDA, which is always a good conversation. And we usually do the Congressional Sportsman's Caucus group and a few of the other, conservation groups. We have some either in person or Zoom meetings with them while we're down there. And then we'll meet with a whole host of representatives and senators and their staff, just to check in. I'm not really sure what's on the agenda. I think getting funding appropriated for the Chronic Wasting Disease Research and Management Act will be one of those things. We are very fortunate here in our state of Pennsylvania. The chairman of the Ag Committee in the House is Glenn Thompson, or GT, and we've been, chatting with him for years. He is awesome, and he's one of the major players in those negotiations for the farm bill, which is something that usually gets pretty good bipartisan support. So we'll see how all this stuff plays out. I will be back to give you an update. Maybe I'll have somebody from Nadifa on, just to kind of go through those things, and we'll chat up how everything goes. But it's always a good trip, whether you believe in, regulation or not. It is a part of how we operate. And if you're not an active voice, they will put stuff in that you don't like. And I mean, even if you are an active voice, they put stuff in you don't like, but you can articulate your position and try to help shape the narrative of what our program looks like. And I think we're making a lot of promise. Also want to just give a shout out to the guys behind the scenes that are advocating for, a different path forward. Guys like Dr. Chris Seabury, he's not just a researcher. He is an advocate for chronic wasting disease and the technologies that are coming on board. And boy, that guy brings just a ton to the table when it comes to his knowledge of disease management and dynamics. He is a wildlife biologist as well, so he has a kind of a really interesting perspective. And he's incredibly articulate in how he is able to explain things and work on that kind of regulatory moat that's been built up and start kind of building some life rafts for us, if you will. So appreciate you, Doc. Thank you. That's it. I'm gonna leave you with that. As always, stay tuned for another episode of North American Deer Talk.